Welcome to Speak It On. This program is designed for the edification and entertainment of the listeners and not designed to be representative of a church, nonprofit organization, or denomination. Opinions expressed are solely those of the host. Hey, welcome back. So I was having a discussion with a good friend who's... He's a friend in the ministry. I've been in the ministry with him before, years ago. And he's been to seminary and all that fun stuff. And what he mentioned is listening to a lot of YouTube and different internet podcasts, you know, like mine, which is fine. But sometimes you have to weigh the information, and I encourage people to do that. Weigh the information that you get from me or anyone else. Now, there's a lot of standard thought processes, standard teaching, that, to be honest, people who have been in church a long time tend to take for granted that it's true and that it's right. Sometimes it's true and sometimes it's right and sometimes it's not. So you got to kind of check that stuff out. One thought that he mentioned was, and this is a predominant thought in Christian theology, okay, in Christian Bible thinking, all right, and it has to do with something called angelic conflict. All right, now, angelic conflict, the main premise of it is that God's primary motive was more or less to defeat Satan and to demonstrate to him how wrong he is by being gracious to people. Now, this is kind of a summation, so it probably doesn't do the entire doctrine correct, but here's the thing. It is predominantly, I've seen that teaching in dispensationalist circles. I read two books written in detail, and they're small books, okay, I'm going to admit, written by a Dallas Theological Seminary graduate on angelic conflict. But the whole idea is this, is that God's really focused on defeating Satan, and Satan's really focused on making sure that the ministry of Jesus does not happen. Okay? The only complication, there's several kinds of things that I'm running through my brain when I'm looking at that doctrine, is this. The first thing is, you're reading Satan's mind. And nowhere, with maybe the exception of the Gospels that state where Satan is talking with Jesus and having a conversation, does it really tell you what's going on in his head? There's another section in Job where Satan somehow winds up in heaven. We assume he was, and that's the problem, is we have to assume quite a few things. But the thing is, he's there. And God's asking him what he's doing, and basically he's just roaming around the earth looking for people to devour. Now, so you get a glimpse of kind of what he's thinking there, because it says so. all the other stuff basically is extrapolating. It's guesswork. It's guessing. Now, we do know this, that Satan, the word, is actually a Hebrew word that means it's Satan, which means the adversary. So, this kind of sounds like I'm drifting a little bit, and maybe so, but let's pull it back into the main theme again. What's the matter with the idea that God's primary focus is to resolve angelic conflict, to beat down all of these upstart angels that turn into demons? The main complication I find is kind of twofold. The first thing is you're talking about a battle between two forces that are utterly not equal. Now, in dualism, you have two forces, kind of yin and yang, that are good and bad, that are equal. God's not equal. He's not equal at all. God, in his unlimited, unfathomable power, can literally wipe out the universe with a thought. And everything in it, including Satan, in a just a puff of smoke. So here's the thing. That's not equal. So in order to strive with someone, to have a fight, quote, so to speak, and not an obliteration, you have to have two beings that are fairly equal, and they're not. Okay, so, well, what does that mean? Well, even in the Job situation, when at the beginning of Job, and I do take Job literally, a lot of people don't, just saying, even at the beginning of Job, Satan shows up, and he still sounds kind of subservient in some ways. He sounds a little arrogant. Sounds a lot arrogant, but still subservient. He's not more powerful than God. So now, here's the problem then. If he's not more powerful than God, then why is God striving with him? Why is God having this struggle against him? Well, that brings me back to the focus, which is the second problem. God's primary focus is us, his people. God's primary focus, I don't agree that his primary focus is to resolve angelic conflict. I believe that his primary focus is to be here with us. Now, he's going to have to deal with angelic conflict in order to make that happen. But his primary thing is his people. His primary focus is his people. God so loved the world. Now, it just so happens now, and this is something that dispensationalists as well as Calvinists don't deal with very, very well. And I'll be honest, I mean, you know, I have a Baptist history, and that tends to lean that direction. So the thing is, we don't deal with free will very well. Most people don't know how to really think about it, because we're too busy telling people how horrible they are. So the thing is, with free will, there are people that are just flat not going to get saved because they don't want to be. Why? Because God allows them to choose. Well, if you have evil in the world, There has to be an outlet. It's people. There are people that embrace evil. They make bad decisions. And those decisions unleash evil upon the world. So, instead of having a two-part conflict, which is really kind of what angelic conflict is. You got the angels on one side, you know, demons on one side, and then God on the other side. And then the angels are fighting it out, and everybody's duking it out. Well, instead of that, there's the third element. And the third element is us. It's human will. Because God chooses to work with people, through people. And you know what? Satan does too, quite a bit. I mean, in spite of what we see in the horror movies, you know, with people floating, flying through the air and jazz all the time. Not saying that doesn't happen sometimes, I don't know. But here's the thing. Whether it does or not, it's irrelevant from this perspective. We give Satan power. People open up to his bad ideas and take his suggestions. And it will destroy you. Because that's what he is. He is a destroyer. His name, his nickname, or proper name, however you want to look at it, used to be Lucifer. We call him Satan because Satan means adversary. He's the enemy, no duh. In fact, we really don't know if it's he or she. It's more of an it. But here's the thing. Whoever it is, he's working against people. Now, since he can't be equal to God, and he's not, originally thought he was, but he's not, what is it that Satan, what can a being do to hurt God? How do you hurt an all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent being beyond the mind's comprehension? How do you do that? You hurt what he loves. You hurt what he loves. God loves people. For God so loved the world. The fact is, all the world may not love him back. But he allows that because God loved the world. And since he did, that is what Satan wants to hurt. He wants to take as many people to destruction away from God as he can, because that hurts the heart of God. It does hurt the heart of God when people die and choose to reject him. It does. Now, he's big enough to take it. But here's the thing. That's how he's doing it. And he uses our decision-making process more often than not to make that happen. You know, people think you've got to conjure all kinds of crazy witchcraft to make people do junk. No, really. Sex and drugs have done more for Satan than a lot of stuff. So, next time somebody throws a doctrine at you, okay, try to dig into it a little bit. You know, and I talked to my friend and asked, where in the Bible does it say what Satan's game plan is? And has, I mean, for for eternity. I mean, from now on, there are spots where you see kind of where he's going. But let's don't try to read the mind of a sinister being that's been around 1,000 years and who's perfected evil. Let's don't. Yeah, I don't want to even go there. Instead, let's try, if you really want to hack that dude off, if you really want to just get him just pissed, then here's what you do. You do what God wants you to do, and you share him with other people. That's how you do it. That's how you combat sin. Because the more of Jesus is in us, the less the evil has a chance to use us. And if you belong to Jesus, Satan can't take you over, but he can make suggestions. And we still have free will. You're allowed to make bad decisions, really bad decisions, even if you're saved. So, with that thought, get into the Bible study. Know about these books of the Bible so that next time you get pitched a doctrine, you can look at it a little harder sometimes. Sometimes we take stuff for granted that really it doesn't have a whole lot of biblical backing. There's a lot of people that can pull verses out of all kinds of places. And it sounds pretty snazzy. The only problem is the logic don't track. So anyway, with that in mind, I want you to keep on keeping on.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Speak It On. If you would like to support this ministry, then please go to Patreon under L.A. Blackburn. May God bless every effort you make to do His will in His Word.